on 2FM.
Now, welcome back to Game On. I am delighted now to be in the company of Claire Shine. For those people who don't know Claire, Claire is probably one of the most prolific underage stars in sport. She's one of these people who everybody knew about when she was young, and you were growing up, watching her growing up and wondering where she was going to go and what she was going to do. And she was good at everything and was destined to be an absolute star. Unfortunately for Claire, things took a little bit of a turn and she struggled with some demons in her life, but has now came out the other side of it and is still only 27. So has a whole sporting life ahead of her still. And Claire has written a book, Scoring Goals in the Dark, and she is with us now to tell us her story. Claire, you're so very welcome.
Wow.
Off the cuff as well. I didn't have a note there. I just, out it came.
That was amazing. Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here. Delighted to be back speaking to you.
It was amazing following you, Claire, just knowing you for, I suppose, as a kid. Because, you know, when you hear about people and you're like, well, I hear it now all the time, you know, it's like, oh, this is a girl, Joy Ralph, playing for DLR Waves, and, you know, she's going to be brilliant. And, you know, Claire Shine as a kid is good at everything and she's going to be brilliant. And it's grand sitting around talking about that. But for somebody to be your age, Claire, and be a young teenager and to have all of this pressure and expectation, what was that like?
You know, it's hard to put a finger on it. I think so much was happening at one time. I was playing international football. I was playing for Cork Senior Camogie. I was playing two age groups in the football as well. I was playing club football. I was playing club Camogie and Gaelic football as well. So there was so much going on at that time. I never had a chance to kind of sit back and take it all in and appreciate what I had actually achieved at such in a short period of time. So looking back on it now, it's incredible. You know, I still have all these amazing, like, memories and, you know, accolades that I have up on the wall, and I have a lot of jerseys, you know, my first international cap and things like that, that I can look back on and be really proud of. You know, things started to take a little turn for me, for the worst, I suppose, battling a lot of demons that I've had. And, you know, I can kind of use those demons and use my experiences and hopefully carry them on with me into the future and help as many people as I can, you know, to overcome those struggles that they might be experiencing too.
When did that happen, Claire? Like, when did you, like, maybe, like, when was that triggered? Like, when do you go from being this young, carefree kid who dreams of playing football for Ireland or going on and winning All Ireland or whatever you were going to end up doing, to be struggling?
I feel like I was pulled and dragged into a lot of different directions. I think I didn't want to let anybody down. I wanted to achieve everything I possibly could. And, you know, I went through a complete burnout stage and I started to resent against sport, resent against football. And, you know, I got that euphoric feeling from drink and that social aspect to my life. You know, I was always very outgoing, very bubbly character, and I just drowned everything that I was feeling and drowned all these, you know, emotions and feelings that I was feeling out with drink and with drugs. And, you know, I at the time didn't realise the long-term effects that can have on somebody, especially trying to pursue a career in professional sport. You know, the two don't combine together. It just doesn't work. And you think, I know, I just feel like I was really immature to kind of understand what I was going through. I didn't have the tools at the time to kind of address my emotions and my feelings and to kind of talk them through with people. I just felt like one day I'd wake up and, you know, everything would go back to normal and I'd have that drive and determination that I had as a kid growing up and all these dreams and ambitions of, you know, representing my country at the highest level and maintaining that. And I think I just really struggled with opening up about how I was really feeling, and, you know, eventually it caught up with me and it was nearly too late.
In a way, you know, you're talking about going out as a teenager and going drinking and going out with your friends and, you know, having fun, and, mm-hmm. and everybody does it, and, you know, that's part of growing up, you know, and you have to learn, you know, what's your limit and what you can do and, you know, when to stop and all the rest. So when did you realise that there was a problem? Like, when did you go from being a teenager having the crack with your pals to being, okay, I might be a little bit different to maybe that group that I'm hanging around with?
Oh, you know, 21, 22, 23, things started to become out of control. And, you know, I started to turn up training and turn up to games under the influence of alcohol. I was lying to my best friends, my family, the people closest to me about where I was and what I was doing. And once you start lying about these things, you know you have a problem. And once it starts interfering with the one thing that's good in your life, you know that it's a serious problem. And I didn't have that awareness at the time to kind of realise and to know that I needed help. You know, you'd never put a professional athlete in the same category as drinking drugs. You know, it's just a subject that's not spoke about enough. And I think it does affect a lot of athletes at some point in their life, be it during their career or when they retire. It does catch up on them. And it's something that I feel like needs to be spoken about and to have that open conversation with people. You know, it's just building the awareness of when it starts to interfere with the one thing that you love and destroys everything good in your life. That's when you know things have gotten really bad.
I interviewed you a couple of years ago before the pandemic. Everything now is defined by before and after the pandemic. And you had just been through a really tough time, and it was, you were coming out the other side of being in a very dark place where things were really, really serious. And it's actually even really difficult to ask you about it, because I couldn't even ask you really about it at the time, because you just weren't comfortable talking about it. And I knew it, and I knew that it wasn't, but things got really dark, Claire, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, when I spoke to you the last time, I was a year, just over a year sober. I was still coming to terms with things. I think, you know, when you've come through a dark period and you feel like you're happy and things are going so well, you tend to jump into things that you're not ready for. And that's definitely something that I have learned along the way. And I've learned the hard way, unfortunately. But look, yeah, you know, I was a year and a half sober and then lockdown hit, and, you know, it took away my routine, it took away all the recovery and the things that I was doing right, I suppose, and it controlled my whole life again. And I didn't want to admit that I was after relapsing, that, you know, all my hard work had just went to nothing in a blink of an eye, and everything that I had gone through, I was back to square one again. That was something that I really found so hard to accept and to admit. It's not only to myself, but to other people as well. I didn't want people to know that I was back to square one, that I had to start from step one again. That was just completely something that I was not capable of doing. And, you know, I tried to take my own life again in Edinburgh. And, you know, it took that particular moment and that recovery period for 30 days in a psychiatric ward in Sawpill Hospital in Glasgow for me to really understand what was going on with my mental health and my addiction. You know, when I gave up drink the first time, I fully believed that I wasn't actually an alcoholic and I didn't have addiction problems. I just felt like, you know, the next time, or I always had that voice in my head saying, you know, the next time will be different. I've learned so much about myself. I'm a new person, whereas it took the relapse for me to realise that I am an alcoholic and I do have serious addiction problems when I allow them to take over my life. But the thing is that I learned is there are so many tools and so many things out there that people don't know about that can help them on the road to recovery. You know, I'm nearly 2 years sober now. It's the longest in 27 years that I have gone being sober, and I'm in such a good place with it. And that's even outside football. You know, my recovery has been so up and down in terms of trying to get back on the pitch and trying to get back to 100%, I suppose. But, you know, life outside football is the happiest that I have ever been. You know, I have unbelievable relationship with my family now, like my mom, my dad, my sister, my brother, my niece. We're on FaceTime all the time, my girlfriend. You know, these are things that I never knew that would be possible for me to get back again. And, you know, I've given so much time to it. I'm learning every single day about it. And, you know, I need to keep the foot on the pedal at all times, and I need to just take it day by day and, you know, keep on top of it as much as I can, because it's definitely a route that I don't want to go down. I want to use my experiences and to help as many people as I can in the similar situations that I found myself in.
Where does that bravery come from to be able to talk about the things that you've been through, to even be able to sit here in a radio studio and say that you tried to take your life?
I've been holding on to it for so long, and I've been journeying for the bones of 10 years now. And it wasn't until, you know, my mom found one of my diaries from when I was 15, 16, and she sent it over to me to Glasgow last year, and I read through it. My 15, 16 year old self being so horrible to her. And like, I'm saying hers because I don't know who that person is. I don't recognise the words that were written down on that page. And I literally can remember reading over it and being like, that poor little girl had so much going for her, yet she felt like she was the loneliest person on this earth. And I'm like, how am I, like 26, 27, I still have those feelings. Like, that's 10 years. That's a long time to be kind of feeling like that and going through all these things. And I'm like, finally being able to open up and be honest. And, you know, it's helped me so much along the way. And I feel like recovery works, it breaks you down into a million pieces to put you back a completely different way. And, you know, it's incredible what you learn about yourself. I'm finally happy in my own skin. I'm finally able to voice how I really felt. And I feel, you know, it's easy for me to sit here and speak about all these dark moments when I'm in a good place, whereas my book resembles the dark moments, the dark times. And I hope it can give people a good picture of what it really is like to go through those dark times. You know, when I read autobiographies or things like that, I live in the moment as if I'm that person, and that's what I want. I want people to walk in my shoes for a while and see what it really was like trying to overcome.
You're not alone. That's the thing.
Exactly.
You know, there's so many people out there that do struggle, and like, it's very rare, Claire, as well, that it's a 27-year-old young mm-hmm. woman who seems like she's got the world at her feet and mm-hmm. all the talent and all the personality and everything that you could want from when you're looking from the outside in mm-hmm. at a 27-year-old professional athlete, career all ahead. And then, you know, you read the book and you realise that you're the same as everybody else mm-hmm. with the struggles and the tough times, and you're somebody that people who are struggling can relate to.
100%. And, you know, that's the thing. People look at alcoholics and they look at addiction and they just turn their nose up to it, to be honest. They don't want anything to do with it. And I found myself in that situation as well, whereas I thought I was going to be judged for my behaviours and my actions. And I know I have made some terrible decisions, but I'm not a monster. I'm just living with something so powerful. That's the way it portrays me. And that's the way it portrays a lot of people going through addiction. And I want to open that conversation with people, the horrible conversations that people don't want to have. It can affect anybody at any given time. And I have spoke to numerous people who have been through addiction. And there was one woman in particular, she was in her 40s, and I'd say she was about maybe 46, 47, and she didn't pick up a drink until she was 40. And she lost her kids, she lost her house, her mortgage, everything. And she was only in addiction for 6 years. And it took her to be 40 to realise that she even had an addiction. And like, that was so eye-opening for me. And she spoke to me and said, you're so young, like, you've caught it so early, you have your whole life ahead of you, and that will stick with me forever. You know, I have such an amazing life out there, that, you know, there's so many opportunities out there, there's a whole world to travel and to get to know. And, you know, when you're caught up in addiction, all you want to do is, where can I get my next drink? And you're stuck in that mindset and you forget about everything else that's going on in the world. You forget about, you know, the simple things in life that make you happy. And I'm in a situation or in a position now where I can sit down and have a coffee on my own and be at peace. And that's something that I find so much enjoyment out of. And I'm able to, you know, I see someone sitting on their own in a coffee shop, I can go over and have a conversation with them, and, you know, that could make their day as much as it makes my day. You know, the simple things in life just give me so much happiness, and I'm just finally glad that I'm able to open up and to be this honest about the darkest times, because I can look back and be like, wow, you've come so far, and I can be really proud of it, and I know my family are really proud of me as well.
Was writing the book therapeutic? Gareth Marr wrote it with you and did an amazing job.
Oh yeah, Gareth has been unbelievable. He has, you know, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think I was going to be able to.
I actually think he's got maybe like 30 hours in a day and everyone else is about 24.
Oh yeah, 100%. He's just constantly on the go, and he's been excellent, always on the other end of the phone for anything. And yeah, he structured it, he put it all together. You know, we had numerous Zoom calls for hours on end talking about everything and trying to fine tune it. But it's been an unbelievable process. Like, I was able to go back to my school, Regina Mundi, in Cork, and give an assembly about my journey and where life has brought me since I left school. And it's just crazy. I was definitely the last person that they ever thought would, in my year group anyway, that would have written a book. You know, I wasn't the best in school. I was constantly on the go with sport and travelling the world with underage international teams. So for me to be able to go back and even email my English teacher and say, look, I'm after writing a book, like, it's just incredible. And I'm just delighted that, you know, it's turned out the way it did, and it's getting a really positive response. So, you know, I just hope that my experiences can help a lot of people along the way.
So what are the goals for the future then?
To remain sober, to be happy, to be content, you know, obviously to try and play football for as long as possible, and to just know and to realise that I can bring a lot more to the table than just football. Yeah, I think, you know, football was my identity for so long, and to be able to bring more to the table and to show what I'm really about and to be who I am truly and 100% is something that I definitely want to bring with me into the future.
Well, Claire, I think you did everybody a great service writing this book, Scoring Goals in the Dark. An absolutely fantastic read. It is in all good bookshops, I presume, or where can you get it?
You can get it in Eason's, Dubray Books. You can get it online, W.H. Smith.